You're listening to Real Women Courageous Wisdom, hosted by Women for One truth teller, my friend and author, Kara Bradley. Real Women Courageous Wisdom is a podcast series featuring Women for One truth tellers, everyday women and kindred spirits passionate about sharing their journeys and inspiring others.
Hey everyone, it's Kara Bradley, your host for Real Women Courageous Wisdom. We have another great week, another great episode coming at you with Jennifer Shelter. Jennifer Shelter is not only a friend of mine, but she helps individuals and businesses succeed with mindful practices for work-life balance, leadership, team building, and creativity. Jennifer is also a beautiful writer and a truth teller for Women for One. I'm so honored to have Jennifer, my friend, here this week with us. Welcome, Jennifer. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Kara. It's an honor to speak with you.
Oh, it's so much fun to have you here. Jennifer is truly one of the most beautiful yoga teachers as well that I've ever taken yoga with. But I'm going to ask you first, Jennifer, how do you find sharing your truth, especially through writing and online? What does that do for you?
Well, I find it to be one of the most cathartic practices, and I'm really lucky to work with a great teacher named Heather Sellers, who's a wonderful teacher. And I'm also just so love the practice of writing because it's one of the most helpful ways for me to be vulnerable and honest rather than live in my ego or live in some assumptions. It's very clarifying practice, and I love to share writing circles. That's one of my favorite things, is to combine meditation and writing and lead writing circles as well.
That's great. So what does that look like? I've never done a writing circle. How is that structured?
Writing circles are really extraordinary. There's usually about 20 people or so, and we sit in a circle, and usually there's some sense of centering, breathing, and meditation just to feel the senses, taste, touch, sight, sound, a sense of presence. And then from there, we usually use a writing prompt, what's called a writing prompt. And writing prompts help us, gives us a place to stand and to jump off into the creative process. So a writing prompt could be, one of my favorites is, my name is, and I never expected to, and you fill in the blanks, and then you just write for 15 minutes and you allow your creativity to go where you most need to go. And you usually find some amazing new information about yourself and about others.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, wonderful.
That's great. So if you're listening and you've been thinking about sharing with Women for One, that is a great prompt. And so just, you know, maybe tomorrow morning you sit down with your journal and say, write down, my name is, and I never expected to. And you may find yourself with a post on Women for One very soon. Just a little challenge out there. That's all I'm saying. So, Jennifer, you've got such a great story and wonderful experiences that you share in your yoga classes. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I studied, my graduate school degree was in theater, so I studied as an actress for 2 years, and I worked professionally for 10 as a professional actress. But I circled back to yoga and meditation and writing because those really were the underpinnings of character development. And when I was developing as an actress, I just fell in love with the whole idea of self-discovery and healing and self-realization and self-actualization. And so yoga and meditation and writing for me was that first entree into really how am I going to use my mind in the best way? How am I going to use my body in the best way? And how do these two things come together to help myself and to help others? That's it in a nutshell.
That's your name, and that's so let me ask you, Jennifer, little prompt to you. You never expected to, you know, now at your age, you never expected to.
I never expected to be so in love with several things. One is I never expected to be so in love with the conversation of mindfulness and the conversation of how do we stay present. I never expected to speak like I did last week. I was a keynote speaker for the Pennsylvania Bar Association. So advocating for mindfulness in populations that need prevention and wellness, that was really an honor.
Wow.
And I never expected to just fall in love with my own coming of age story as much and transform my relationship to just the past. I don't know. I think turning 50, I really said to myself, I really am willing to let go of a lot of things that I've been holding on to and just chart a new course for myself and reevaluate what's really most important to me so my life is as authentic as possible. And I never expected to fall in love with that process. For a while, I resisted it, and now I'm in it. So those are some of the things I never expected. And I never expected to have two cats that I love and adore, who I found on Craigslist.
That's great. Is one of their names Craig?
No, one of their names is Oscar Wilde and Enzo Ferrari. One's black and one's orange.
I love it. Well, I have a question for you because I'm sure that there are those listening that may be asking the same question. You said you never expected to fall in love with letting go and this coming of age, letting go of stories or whatever has happened in the past. Is there any advice or anything that particularly was helpful for you in allowing that process to start and then continue to unfold?
Yes, I think an absolute dedication to my own practice of writing and getting a wonderful teacher. I would advocate for anyone to hire a coach or a teacher. If there's something that you really, really, really want to do with your life, and you've been putting it off for a while, maybe 5 years, 10 years, however long, a lifetime, I just really believe in getting to it and just surrendering to the process of it. And no matter how it looks, no matter how it makes you feel, I think it's important just to stay with it. And I know with the writing project that I'm working on, it's opened up a lot of doors for just topics I never would have thought that I needed to unpack, like aging and vanity and the mother-daughter relationship. And I realize that regardless of my intellectual mind or my ego, my consciousness is going to continue to be fascinated by those topics. So I might as well let myself play in that realm.
Wow. That's interesting. So we never really, really can let go of, say, a challenging relationship with a mother or a parent, because our consciousness is always going to be fascinated by it, is what you're saying.
I guess that's been my experience, because by working on my writing, I mean, definitely my mother is a character in my writing, and it's made me adore the parts of her that I didn't understand. I've gotten closer to, and I guess it's also given me a sense of forgiveness for myself that I couldn't, you know, things my mother could never have given me. It's made me more grown up and saying, okay, well, then the only person I have to forgive is myself, because I really didn't have the wherewithal to see what I needed. And it's lightened the load, I think, for my for feeling as if, you know, my mother is just an extraordinary person. And I think my writing has helped me feel a sense of deep gratitude that I have the mother that I have, and I have the grandmother I have, and that they're irreplaceable stories, and it's irreplaceable time, and there's no way to replace time. So all I have to do is just say, this is irreplaceable, and this is what I got. These are the cards that I was dealt, and they were fabulous cards. Mm. But I didn't always feel that way. Mm. Now I've really written myself into a place where I can see the whole enchilada and just be like, hey, this is what we got. This is the feast, as Hemingway says, the movable feast. This is what it is.
Oh, that's great. That's so beautiful. And so if it remains in our mind, and this is what I've experienced, if it remains in my mind, whatever situation, betrayal, disappointment, you know, all this stuff that occurs for all of us, right? We all have this stuff in our lives.
Yeah.
But if I just hold it in my mind as a story, then I never allow myself the opportunity to really, I guess the best word to use is unpack it. And when you write it down on paper, you start to be able to see the situation from so many different perspectives, right? From the perspective of your mother, from the perspective of you, mm-hmm. or any of the other parties involved, it really pulls apart that tangled up yarn, doesn't it?
It does. My writing teacher recently gave me such a great prompt. Because I was writing about being, when I was 25 and my mother turned 50, because I just turned 50. So she had me do an assignment. She said, what was in your suitcase when you moved, when you were 25? And I thought, I don't remember that. But she said, no, sit there and maybe you draw for an hour. Maybe you just meditate on it. And suddenly I came up with two paintings of everything I had in my suitcase, the rollerblades, the tampons, the makeup, the socks, you know, the sunglasses that I wore at 25. And I just felt a whole sense of, oh my God, you know, we all leave home and we have a suitcase that we leave home in, whether we know it or not. And I thought, wow, but I wonder what it was like for my mother when all these kids left home. And you're right. I think it does. Writing gives us a context in which we can hold kind of love and loss and the drama of life. And as something that happens to all of us, it's like no one's doing it to us. It's we're all in that lila, that play of the great catastrophe, as Jon Kabat-Zinn calls it. So it's very beautiful. It's very good process. And I cry a lot when I write, which is such a great thing, because there are moments of our lives that we don't acknowledge as conscious when we're in them. And it's wonderful to go back and relive things and just let the moment process through. And then it's gone.
Wow. You're just a poet. Do you know that, my friend? No, seriously, I'm supposed to be writing and taking, you know, notes, and I'm just sitting here in stillness, everybody, just listening to this beautiful woman speak. Everything that comes out of your mouth is a poem. It's really extraordinary. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you know what's beautiful about Jennifer as well is she's able to draw it out of others so eloquently and effortlessly, really. Your way of guidance is so beautiful. Can you tell us a little bit about your founding, how you founded Yoga on the Steps, which has become a national brand at this point? I know it's recently changed names, but can you tell us a little bit about that whole journey?
Well, about, I think it was 15 years ago now, I was up on the Art Museum steps and...
Oh, so I'm just going to pause for a second. So for those of you who don't know Philadelphia, the Art Museum steps is what Rocky ran up during the Rocky movie. So it's these gorgeous steps of this old, beautiful museum in the heart of Philadelphia. Sorry, Jennifer.
That's okay. And I was up there, and it's always been a favorite plateau. And I had my high school yearbook taken on the rocky steps. And growing up in Philadelphia, it's a big iconic image of the city. And I was up there, and I just had rolled out my yoga mat and was practicing yoga. And I thought, well, the only thing that's missing are 1,000 people. Wouldn't this be so amazing to share this view and to be here? And so then I met with a wonderful woman named Courtney Kapp, who later had breast cancer. And she, once she got through her breast cancer, she said, we should really do a large event, because I told her about my vision to do a large event on the Art Museum steps. And so she connected me with Living Beyond Breast Cancer. And the rest is history, really. I think we had 200 people the first year, and now it's up to like 2,000 people. And it's also gone to Denver and Washington, D.C. and Florida. And it's expanded a lot. But it's just such a wonderful event, where the spirit of the event is really centered around meditation and yoga and a sense of kindness and spirit. It's just a lovely event.
Mm, it is one of the most inspiring yoga classes I've ever attended. And we'll be there again this year with bells and whistles on. So thank you.
I met a woman this past week, and one thing I absolutely adore about the event is that it's really family friendly, and daughters and mothers and sons and boyfriends. And I met a woman who said, I just love coming because every year it's my daughter and I, it's a mother-daughter outing that we do every year. And I thought, that's pretty special. That's just so lovely. It's just wonderful I never expected the event to go through so much time. I think that's something that I love about getting older, is that it's just so amazing the way you're following people's lives through history. And that's a wonderful event. I've followed a lot of lives. Mm. It's been a privilege to be in touch with a lot of people and to hear their authentic journeys.
Mm. That's so great. Well, could you give us some of your advice for those of us listening that perhaps don't have a writing practice yet, or yoga practice, or meditation practice, anything? You know, so many of us are walking through the days just still feeling like our heads are swirling and our bodies are tight, and we listen to beautiful women like you and the other incredible women that have been on this podcast kind of seem to have it all together, but I don't have it together, and I don't know what to do, and how do I even begin this journey? Do you have anything to share, just off the top of your head, wise woman?
Well, I think that having a woman friend, whether that woman is older or the same age, but I specifically would advocate for women to become great friends with older women, and to value what it is to be a woman, to share what you are authentically feeling or sensing, I would say is the first step, because there's no such thing as the perfect woman who has the perfect life, who has everything figured out. That just doesn't exist. So I used to think that that existed, and now I know that doesn't exist. So I would say the first thing is to just get around somebody that you fully trust and do like a little retreat with them. That doesn't mean that you have to go away, but maybe it's just spending the afternoon with them, telling them how you really feel about your life. And then secondly, is to go about moving in the direction that gives you a sense of positive energy. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily the direction that may feel good initially, but if it gives you even a smidgen of your own personal satisfaction, whether you want to call that chi or authenticity or genuine satisfaction in a small way, I would follow that, because that curiosity for your own livelihood, and I don't just mean to get paid, the livelihood that resides inside of you must be cherished. And spending even 15 minutes on your own livelihood, whether that be writing a love letter to somebody or yourself, or I don't know, I always spend like a good even 2 minutes with flowers, I get outside and look at them just because they give me a sense of livelihood. Mm. And then I would just say, begin to prioritize your life around that which gives you life. Mm. Not necessarily what gives you perfect financial, you know, security necessarily. And I'm not downplaying that at all. But I do think building a small retreat in your mind and your heart every day so that you can move your livelihood, your joy forward is essential. That's what I would say.
Wow. Well, you don't need to say any more. That was amazing. That was so eloquent as usual. Well, Jennifer, please tell our audience where they can find you and stay in touch with you.
You can go onto my website at jennifershelter.com. And my last name is S-C-H-E-L-T-E-R. And you can find me there. You can, if you're interested in practicing yoga or meditation or writing groups, I lead a beautiful retreat to Tulum, Mexico every year in March. So you could come on that radiant retreat. It's absolutely beautiful. And I'm always around. So anybody can send me an email and I'm happy to support them in any way, whether it's one-on-one coaching or helping them develop a meditation or mindfulness or writing practice. I'm here to support.
Yes, you are. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us. And thank you all for listening to another fantastic, inspiring, empowering episode of Real Women, Courageous Wisdom. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Women for One's podcast series, Real Women, Courageous Wisdom. If you like what you just heard, we hope you will subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and leave a review. If you're interested in becoming a Women for One truth teller, visit womenforone.com to learn more. For more information about our host, Kara Bradley, visit her site, karabradley.net. Join us next time for another enlightening conversation with powerful everyday women.